Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock.
New on the Tab app.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1800 858 858. Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Time to look back on racing around Australia. Yesterday, there was the Oaklands Plate in Adelaide yesterday. Mac and Cheese finally broke through. Later in the program, we'll talk with Dean and Brendan about that win of Snowfall in the Irish Oaks. It was a big day for Josh Richards, continuing his great run here with a four-timer at Moi at the provincial meeting on Saturday. And I welcome you into the program, Dean Lester. Was there a sense of pride with you being involved in the reviving of the Flemington Cup yesterday?
Oh, there is a bit, Warren. Yeah, it was just an off-the-cuff remark to Lee Jordan about 18 months ago, and it's ended up a race that I think the prize money is going to be increased a bit more over the next couple of years. And, at 2,800 metres gives the stayers a chance. And, good trainer like Mike Moroney talking about a little bit about spring aspirations, that it might develop into a good race in time.
How did you see the day pan out yesterday?
I thought it was a really good meeting. I don't think there was a lot to say between it and finals day, to be honest. And maybe the three-year-old race early in the day was an even better race than the three-year-old races on finals day. So, no, I enjoyed the day. Didn't come out on the right side of the ledger, but we tried hard.
No, we always try hard. And Brendan Delaney, I think you had some budding jockeys watching the races with you yesterday, if your social media posts are anything to go by.
It's not just yesterday, Warren. Every time the races are on, young Jack is on the rocking horse with his goggles and his whip and his silks on. So that's a bit of a mainstay in our household. He just doesn't like it when I start rewinding the races to watch the replay. But good day. Good to see horses making ground off reasonable tempos. Everyone got their chance pretty much yesterday, bar a couple that were held up in behind. But that's the way we like to see Flemington race. It's the way we like to see every race course raced, you know, horses up front getting their chance and horses being able to make ground from the back.
It was a cold, wet winter's day at Flemington yesterday, but there was plenty to like in the first race about the performance of Gonna Dance A Lot.
That skill and Gonna Dance A Lot together. Sprint up at the 350. Two lengths, Turn It Up, Tommy, Tanaka's Son, Actigali brought to the middle, followed by Mamoul at the 250. Gonna Dance A Lot went for home for Jamie Carr. Three lengths in front of Actigali and then Tanaka's Son, but Gonna Dance A Lot. Carr looks at the screens, doing it comfortably. 100 metres to go. Gonna Dance A Lot racing clear, hands and heels. So impressive. Won it by 2.5, Actigali. Head Bob a third. Turn It Up, Tommy, or Tanaka's Son involved.
Well, Dino looked impressive. 2.75 lengths, the winning margin. How did you see the first?
Yeah, look, she got a beautiful spot early in the race, going to dance a lot, but I did like the way she sprinted at the top of the straight and galloped out strongly pretty much all the way to the line to win quite emphatically. Actigali, I think, is a good benchmark for her because he beat her at Bendigo and then he ran well in the Taj Rossi final. And Turn It Up, Tommy, he's very much a learner. He over-raced early, and to his credit, he toughed it out well over the final stages to run third. Honest runs behind there. I think Mamoul stepping up quickly in distance, he'll be better for that day at that sort of trip. But the filly was very good, and she galloped out really well to the line.
If we're talking about this race as potentially a guide to either an Oaks or a Derby, the boys were very well beaten by Going to Dance A Lot, so they might have to go up a step or learn a bit and improve heading towards a Derby. What do you think about, you know, legitimate Oaks prospects, Dean, for Going to Dance A Lot?
Oh, you'd be pretty happy if she was yours going forward, because she looks as though she's got an ability to race forward, looks as though she's got strength. So whether, you know, the next phase is that, you know, when the class fillies come back, you know, like a class filly last year won the Oaks like Personal, whether, you know, she'll measure up to that. But she looks like she can stay, and I don't think I've ever seen a horse balloted from the Oaks, so I'm not too worried about the exemption from the ballot. But I think that, you know, at least they've got something to aim up at, and I think she's quite a promising staying filly.
Brendan, what did you and Jack make of the first?
He was pretty happy that JB Carr won. He liked a jockey in blue colours, and they're the ones that he found. So she just got into a lovely spot on Gonna Dance a Lot, and the tempo was there to really help her take advantage of that. She had plenty to give at the top of the straight. If you're on Actor Gali yesterday, don't drop off him. I thought that was a really good run. He was back. Pace wasn't there, conceding a fair bit of weight to a filly that's only going to get better the further she gets up in ground. I thought his run there yesterday was really good. Took some ground off her at the back end after standing her up four or five coming to the turn. Turn It Up Tommy, big boy, could have done with some room earlier, but liked the way he stuck to his Taz Tanaka some. Just couldn't quite finish it off after racing close to the speed. One that I didn't mind that's probably eligible to drop back to something much easier was Think Bold. Got back in the race, speed was against, but really stuck to its guns well in the straight. There was a cluster of a few of them there back in the field, and Think Bold was able to run away from them. Kaveri was another one that was there, and Think Bold was able to put a couple of lengths on it late. So dropping back to something easier, I think that's a horse you can probably follow next time around. But winner, she's good, she's got class, she really held her gallop all the way to the line. Don't drop off Actor Gali, but Think Bold for something easier can be winning soon.
Dean, we saw a few horses back in the field throwing their heads around and over racing a bit. How did you see the race pan out from a tempo point of view?
Look, I thought it was an even speed, Warren, but not excessively slow. I just think a few of these probably learning how to pace themselves at longer trips. You know, we often train horses up to show a bit of speed. Now they're getting out over longer trips. So I don't think the speed was excessively slow, considering the conditions. So no, I just think these horses are very much in their learning phase of their career. And as mentioned about Turn It Up Tommy, he probably would have liked a bit of room, but had he had a bit of room, would he have gone even keener? So, it's early in their careers, and I agree with Brent. I think Think Bold, I think if he's allowed to run in a 2,000 or 2,200-metre race now against the older maidens, he'd take that advantage, but I don't think he can until the end of the month.
Jack Hill aboard Actor Gali was fined $600 for overuse of the whip. He saw how far Jamie Carr was in front, and he had to try and do something to lift Actor Gali, but he ran into second, but he couldn't get anywhere near Jamie Carr aboard Actor Gali, and Jamie Carr saddled up aboard I'm Thunderstruck in race two.
At passed by I'm Thunderstruck, and then came Yalong Justify, Hickok, Sir Davy to the outside from Immortal Love. Japery went for home, 250 metres to go by about a length and a half. Tuvalu getting off its heels, and I'm Thunderstruck right down the middle at the clock tower. I'm Thunderstruck moves up, lays in, takes the lead from Japery, Tuvalu, Basawa, Divine Diosa, but I'm Thunderstruck storms away, and I'm Thunderstruck trotted in three lengths. Tuvalu, photo third, getting up along the inside.
What did you think here, Brendan?
They went along at a nice gallop for I'm Thunderstruck. Japery tagged them along at a reasonable enough speed, and Tuvalu was the one that had the nice running behind, but I'm Thunderstruck showed that all he needed at Caulfield was the little bit of tempo. That's what he didn't get there when he was forced to chase into the race, and then he couldn't finish off. He had the speed to drag him right into it yesterday, and he really showed us what he's made of, although still showing us there's plenty to learn the way he wanted to lay in the straight. He's got the one-eye blinker on already, so maybe just a little bit more learning for him, but he's a horse certainly on the way up and has a really powerful finish. Tuvalu, great return, unbeaten run comes to an end, but I don't think the Lindsay Smith team will be too disappointed with the way he came back to the races yesterday. I thought Hickok was solid back to the inside. Japery battled on well after leading, and Basawa was up on that speed and did a good job late. The disappointing runner of the race was Sir Davy for mine. He was back with I'm Thunderstruck. Looked as though Johnny Allen was trying to hold I'm Thunderstruck in at the top of the straight, but Jamie just had too much horse and nudged him out of the way. Maybe the time between runs. He's been up since April, so maybe, you know, he did have that little freshen up back to the 1200 and then again out to the 14, so maybe just an end of prep run for him, but winner's very good. Going to be interesting to hear Dean's thoughts. Can he be a horse, Dino, at a really light weight when he turns four early next season that could step up in a pretty good race and knock them off just for the fact that he's got race fitness on his side?
I think he might, Brendan. That was a stunning win because that was a good race. Going in, I think we thought that there was probably four or five horses that would at least challenge him, and hence he wasn't $1.50 favourite or anything like he was last time. But he just put them away. And as you mentioned, it was a good tempo that suited him. They ran incredibly quick time in comparison to the next race, which right enough looked as though she went along at a pretty frantic speed. So I think this is a really high-ranking win. He has got a very good future, and he was one of four horses yesterday, Warren, that came off that Caulfield track that we did declare on that day. It was a pretty biased track, and if you're in the wrong spot, it was hard to win. He was one, and Kalkani Royale another, and they're four in total, and it certainly shows that, you know, if the track's not quite right and they're not quite in the right lane, form can turn around pretty quickly.
Yeah, and Michael Kent Jr., we just couldn't get hold of him this morning, but yesterday on racing.com, he was post-race just indicating that, you know, big tracks, tracks like Flemington probably really suit on Thunderstruck. And back to Sir Davey, Brendan, I was with you in expecting a lot more from him yesterday. Stewart's report has him racing wide without cover from the 1,000-metre mark, and that's, I think, the point in the race where he was trying to hold in on Thunderstruck when they turned into the home straight when they were together. Johnny Allen, who rode Sir Davey, could offer no explanation for the performance, but he did pull up with a slow recovery. So perhaps, Brendan, some excuse for Sir Davey pulling up with a slow recovery, because I don't think that performance lined up with what we've seen from him previously.
No, most definitely. He's got a much better finish on him. As we've seen the day he won at Sandown, where he stood them up a big start and really mowed them down there. That slow recovery, definitely. There was something amiss there yesterday, because that wasn't the Sir Davey that we've seen come with that really strong finish that he produced at Sandown and Warrnambool and Swan Hill and the like.
Dino, Brendan indicating on Thunderstruck, still already carries a bit of headgear trying to keep him straight. As he goes up in class, how important is it for him to be able to hone his skills a little bit?
Yeah, I think he'll just learn how to use his turn of foot a bit better too, Warren. I think he actually went that, you know, really quickly. And a lot of horses, when they go quick, actually lay in. It's a bit of a natural trait. And he did that yesterday, going so quick. So I think he's still learning how to actually harness his own ability. So a bit of headgear and a bit more experience. And I think, you know, certainly it was the win of the day and the run of a horse that... Yeah, he can measure up to something a lot better. It's interesting how dominant that win was yesterday. It really elevated the opinion probably held of him.
I'm Thunderstruck sprinting very quickly with Jamie Carr aboard to take out race two. And Dean saying probably the performance of the day. There looked to be reasonable speed with Right Enough rolling along in race three on the card. Tommy Stockdale was aboard chassis for John Price.
Right Enough at the 400 metres, led by a length and a half, Galgani. They were followed by The Closer, who is chiming in on the outside. Chassis runs up behind them from Don't Tell the Boss. Lindout's running on, but still seven off them and eight off them now. It's Galgani on the outside of Chassis together, followed by The Closer, Raiden's Field, then Lindout. Chassis kicks on the inside of Galgani, then Lindout. Chassis in the shadows in front. Lindout's flying. It's going to be too late. Chassis one. Chassis followed by a photo between Galgani or Lindout and then Aidensfield.
Few via the SMS that we'll get to shortly. Thanks to Frank for your contribution, and one from Jono, very happy with the ride of Froggy Newart. We'll get to that later on in the day. Dean, what did you see about this performance here from Chassis?
Well, she was given a beautiful ride by Tommy Stockdale. Right Enough set up a good lead, but the time showed that she was going at a reasonable speed, but the ones directly chasing her have run first and second. I think the disadvantage for probably Aidensfield and especially Lindout was that there became a divide between The Closer and Don't Tell the Boss, and then Don't Tell the Boss and Aidensfield. So, you know, I think that the riders probably running second, third and fourth got it absolutely spot on. And then, you know, we just heard Robbie Griffiths actually say that they didn't want Don't Tell the Boss to use her energy too quickly. So she was probably caught with wanting to probably track up to that group, but actually being told to sit back. So an awkward spot there, but it had impacted on the ones directly behind her to try and get into the race. So I think advantage were Chassis and certainly Galgani, and they were tough to the line. Lindhout, I think if you backed her going in, you pretty much expected that's where she was going to be in the run from the draw and how she was going to race. It was just that the divide became so big, and the same with Aidensfield. They had too much to do.
Features in the stewards report, Lindout, and very similar to what you're saying, Dean, but Carlene Heffel's instructions were to settle near the rear of the field and not expose her too early, as she had a good turn of foot late, which we all know, but stewards thought that she just set her too much of a task from back in the field and reminded of her obligations to try and, you know, be in a at least a striking position, so to speak. Brendan, your thoughts here?
Nice to see Chassis back in form. John Price touching on his post-race interview that they really had some trouble getting her right after we sent her around this time last year, turning some really nice performances, and then she didn't come up the prep after. But really good to see her back. And I think Tom Stockdale was probably aided a little bit when Right Enough came back on the turn, just forced him to wait that little bit before he could pull the trigger and get some clear air, which probably in the end, considering the margin, has helped him win the race. She still had enough left in the tank to really cling on in that last 50. Had there been room earlier, maybe Tom goes a little bit earlier and she runs out of that steam late. So, it was probably dictated to him when Right Enough was coming back that was going to be the case, but she's done well. Galgani, good up on the speed. Lindout, as Dean said, you knew she was going to be back there, and it was just going to be a matter of whether or not she could wear them down, and she probably would have liked a better toe into the race, and she got. Aidensfield was okay. Don't Tell the Boss, you could just see her that in that middle stage of the race where she was racing by herself, that she just wanted to go that little bit too hard, but she's a bit better than that if she can be cuddled away and produce late. But all honest to Chassis, really nice to see her back in form for a really good underrated trainer in John Price.
Dino, this was the final of the RMBL Investment Rising Stars series, and Colin Madden, who invests a lot in racehorses and has had terrific success, but also sponsoring the Apprentice series. It's very well sought after by the Apprentices. They love to perform in this series, Dean.
That's true, Warren, and often, not so much with the group that ran the placings yesterday, but often being the final at Flemington, it can be the first ride for some of the Apprentices at Flemington, so it really is a big climax to their season of riding in these races, and it would have been for Logan McNeil yesterday had his ride not been scratched. So, it's much sought after. T.A. Nugent had it sewn up before the final heat yesterday, and in the final he's run second, so made a good thing of it. But, it's good to see, and, we're pretty lucky with a good batch of apprentices at the moment.
And T.O.'s hoping to have his indentures just extended slightly. I think he's got something like 10 wins to outride his claim, Dino, claiming 1.5 and scheduled to finish September. And he's hoping to add a couple of months onto that and hopefully be able to outride his claim prior to exiting his apprenticeship, which is something that is a great achievement, and not a lot of them achieve.
Well, not a lot of them achieve that, Warren, but not a lot of them achieve as a claiming apprentice having won a Group 1, and he's already done that with the Oakley Plate. So he's got that on the resume. So if you're looking for a claiming apprentice, it's a good experience to have, isn't it, having won a Group 1 and you're still getting 1.5 kilos off.
Absolutely, and riding Galgani very well, almost pinching the final in the series that he already had sewn up going into that race yesterday. Lindsay Smith's the trainer of Fury in this preparation, and he'd been running well. Declan Bates was aboard out to 2,000 metres yesterday.
Pancho at the 350 took the front from Salsa Moore, Vegas Knight, Furion. Then came One More Try and Orleans Rock down the outside, and Dr. Drill's trying to get through. Furion up to Pancho at the clock tower. Dr. Drill is driving through on the outside. Dr. Drill chasing Furion, then Orleans Rock. Furion just in front. Dr. Drill. Furion just from Dr. Drill. Furion beat Dr. Drill. Photo third, Orleans Rock. From One More Try, and then Crimson Ace and Pancho. Next, Shabau.
Couple of lengths just over between the first seven or so across the line. Brendan, your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, Tavi Rum, once he got control of the lead, they rolled through that first part of the race, and once they got towards the 1,200 metres, the tempo really came out of it. Craig Newitt backed it off on Tavi Rum. And really walked them towards the turn. Great race awareness, middle stages by Declan Bates to come away from the inside and give Furion some room to build into the race. Dr. Drill sort of latched onto his back and followed him through and was there to beat him and couldn't quite do it. Nice to see Furion off such a layoff really dig deep and want the victory. Sometimes if they've been off for that long, they're just content to maybe not push as hard as they might have once done. Dr. Drill was here to beat him. Orleans Rock, One More Try, really good off that slow tempo, but One More Try did have her conditions yesterday, albeit off the slow speed. Pancho was there with every chance. Crimson Ace probably would have liked them to roll a bit better than that, and I thought Shabau got a pass mark for his last 50 or so. He just wanted to roll in a bit, but I thought he probably did enough in the last 50 metres to suggest that he's run okay first up.
Yeah, a few horses at different stages of their preparation here, Dino. How did you see the field?
Look, firstly with Fury, and it was great to see him back in the winner's stall. And lucky enough, it actually the paperwork hadn't gone through when acceptances came through, but I've got a small interest now in Furion, so it was very exciting to get a result in 3 days with a group of guys. I'm just tagging along for the ride with Billy Slater and Cameron Smith and Jerry Ryan and the Lambassador himself, Sam Kekovic. So it was very good fun to see him win yesterday, and Declan Bates can take all the credit for that because... As Brendan said, he got him out in the clear when he needed him to get out there. And look, the horse back in the spring of last year, he was in a rehab preparation, but he was running in Cranbourne Cups with 59 kilos and Bendigo Cups and Ballarat Cups with big weight. So this is the right time to get him back in form, and hopefully he can chip around the edges come springtime. But that was good to see him back in the winner's stall yesterday.
More importantly, I think when COVID restrictions are lifted, Dino, people will want to know where that celebration lunch is. It sounds like it would be quite entertaining.
I'm sure it'll be very entertaining, and I'm looking forward to it. And, the sooner the better. So, well done. And I hope Lindsay Smith hasn't knocked off those two bottles of mum that he got in the winner's room. So, they've got to come to the table when we do have the luncheon.
And what could the team map out for Furion as the spring progresses?
Oh, he's going to Moonee Valley in 2 weeks in a 2040-metre handicap, and then we'll reassess from there. But I'm thinking... a couple of years ago he won the 1700 on Maccabi Divas Stakes Day, and then won on Rupert Clark Day over 1700 at Caulfield. So those sort of class races, and maybe the back end, maybe a Ballarat Cup again. So something like that, hopefully for Furion. But it was good to see him. Just want to race and get the win done.
How did you assess your Bowes return?
I thought he was okay. I think he's had a lot go on since he last raced, and I thought I've seen him in the yard a bit when he first came to Australia, Warren. I actually thought his behaviour was pretty good, and he looked pretty forward fitness wise. But that day, a day at the races often just improves them.
Yeah, I didn't think he looked like he was significantly needing the run. He'd had a good base of fitness, I think, for the 2,000 metres, and he was solid enough to the line. But as you said, maybe doing that run will just give him that little bit of a fitness edge, and we can assess him more when he gets out a little bit further in trip with it. Maybe another run or two under the belt, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's absolutely spot on. I think he'll do, as he has done through his career, a lot of his racing at Flemington through the spring, and see where he ends up.
Jono from Merbu was very happy with the performance of Froggy Newitt down the straight, Yulong Storm.
Ghost Doctor Rare Defence needs a run. Then Island Joy, Knock Knock, Wilmot pass down the centre of the track. Then Messerschmitt, Sig Positano, Zorro's Dream still a long way back. Can't be done in Kalashani Lad with Ruben Blur at the 200 metres. Wilmot pass the outside is charging home too. Kalashani Lad grabbed by Wilmot pass. Yulong Storm is flying. Wilmot pass. Yulong Storm coming at it. Yulong Storm takes the lead. Just won it. Yulong Storm has won from Wilmot pass. Photo for third. Zorro's Dream, Ruben Blur with Can't Be Done.
First of the straight races for the day. Dino, what were your thoughts here?
Yeah, it was a good competitive race. I thought that in the run, I thought Wilmot Pass was the one to beat, and he'd had a beautiful run into the race, and thought that he was going to get the money, but Yulong Storm was just stalking him virtually, and Craig Newitt gave Yulong Storm the great ride. And the one thing he can do late in a race, Yulong Storm, is really finish off, and given that opportunity yesterday, he did exactly that and got Wilmot Pass. Zorro's Dream ran the Zorro's Dream sort of race. He's running well, but Yulong Storm really did show a good turn of foot at the end of that race.
Watching Brett Fribble's pace, Dean, as he's coming back in to weigh in, I think he thought he had the race and he wondered where Froggy Newitt came from over the concluding stages.
I did say yesterday on the coverage with John Henry, I said, I bet Brett Prebble wishes he'd had a set of rear vision mirrors. He might have waited another 100 metres, but he couldn't wait any longer. He was there to win the race. It was just that horse got home too quickly for him.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Done without switching legs with about 50 metres to go, just holding his momentum for a little bit. But Yulong Storm, 2 for 2 down the straight, both similar circumstances, bursting through with a full head of steam up. He really runs through the 1200 down the straight strongly. Wilmot passed, did everything right but win the race. Zorro's Dream, placed again for the fifth time in a row. Another bit of a sucker run there yesterday. If you want to make an excuse for him, I just think he might have got into a little battle with Hasseltoff, probably about 300 to the 200, which he mightn't have appreciated all that much to let go, but maybe clutching to make an excuse for him there. Ruben Blue was good back to the inside. Can't be done. Got a bit tight on the speed. Old Kalashani lad's going well, but I just don't think the old 10-year-old legs have got that little burst that he needs in the last 150. But he's probably going close to nearly career best consistency-wise anyway. Ghost Doctor was okay. Island Joy bombed the starter and made a little bit of ground to the inside. And Mesher Schmidt was one that didn't have a great deal of luck, was cluttered up back in behind when Yulong Storm went outside him. He was just left marking time, and there might be another day for him. But Froggy got it spot on, and I think Preble could have done without a leg change at the 50.
I think I heard you agreeing with the Kalashani lad comment there, Dino. Maybe a wet track on Sandown at a midweeker sometime soon for him?
Yeah, well, that was only his second ever straight track run, and drawn down to the inside, probably not ideal. He ran really well last week. He's run again yesterday very well, and as you said, Sandown, either track, he runs well. So I think there's still there's probably one more win at Sandown left in him, at least, Kalashani lad.
Nathan Hobson making the trip worthwhile down from Swan Hill with Yulong Storm. He also had Rock Tycoon in the same race with Matty Lloyd aboard, beaten some 3.5 lengths. Out to 1,600 metres for race 6 on the card. Bartholomew Diaz was first up with T.O. Nugent, Rising Star winner, aboard.
The straight, 400 metres to go. It's Thinkware Jew held together by a length, Django Freeman, then Dice Roll now down the middle of the track, coming on with Sierra Sue, and behind those horses, High Stranger. Kersley goes for the whip on Dice Roll, not a lot there. Sierra Sue goes up, then High Stranger, and Bartholomew Diaz from the back over the top. Bartholomew Diaz swept up. Dice Roll, High Stranger battle away, but Bartholomew Diaz has won it. Bartholomew Diaz in an upset has won it from High Stranger, Dice Roll, Sierra Sue, then De Niro.
T.O. Nugent's weight's under control, coming back from a break on the sidelines with a broken leg, down to 52.5 there. Brendan, what was your take on this race?
Yeah, really strong wind from the back. Think We're Due went along at a nice enough tempo. Horses from the back were able to get into the race and make ground. And Bartholomew DSG was impressive from the back. Patient Rye, one run at them. He was really outstanding. High Stranger, wet ground, dry ground, 1,000 metres, 1,600 metres, whatever you like. He's just missed a consistency. You'd love to have a horse like him. He's run another really good race here yesterday, and he probably wasn't helped when he had to change course halfway down the straight. Dice Roll dictated two to race three deep from the start. He probably would have liked to have dropped in behind High Stranger in front of De Niro, but it just didn't. He probably didn't help himself by beginning that so well that he couldn't drop into that one wide line, and that three wide run just told on him a little bit late. Sierra Sue followed Dice Roll and trucked into it like it had a bit to offer, but just couldn't get the upper hand the last little bit, and they got clear of the rest. I thought De Niro ran okay. Django Freeman sat close to the speed but was under pressure before they turned. I think Adelaide 8 had his day at Swan Hill there in the Cup, and Fundraiser got really keen there over on the inside, and probably was the contributing factor to the favourite, well, at Racing 3D, Craig Williams didn't really want to let her roll up on the back of the speed and just sat there pulling on the inside, and that was one of the reasons Dice Roll was planted deep. So forgive run for Dice Roll. Bartholomew Diaz, really good return, and it's going to be interesting to see where he can get to now off such a strong win first up.
All right, I get your take on the race. We're all very much glued to the COVID numbers at the moment. The Victorian government's just released yesterday's numbers. There were 16 locally acquired cases and 2 acquired overseas. And of those 16 locally acquired cases, they're all linked to current outbreaks, but no information yet, Dean, if they were in isolation during their infectious period. And that was in excess of just over 53,000 tests. So I suppose before we talk about the race, Dean, encouraging news that those cases are linked, but the people out in the community seems to be the concern, because that can create more of those linked cases as we go forward.
Yes, Warren. It's just such a moving feast of information. I lose track of it after a while. It's and what happens over the next few days, because there were some big gatherings last weekend with the finals of Euros and things like that. So fingers crossed that we get through this pretty much unscathed in the next few days.
Yes, I'm not the only one who's got something planned, but my family flight to Port Douglas next Saturday is looking a little bit shaky. I wouldn't like to be on that as a short price favourite.
Don't take that short odds there, Warren.
No, Bartholomew Diaz taking out race six. What do you think we could see from him? I know you were taken with his recent trial at Traralgon. What did you think of this race?
Yeah, he's a bit of a hard horse to catch in that he's got to be on song, but I think the trial showed that he was feeling good and feeling, nice and springy in the legs and ready to go. And, the word from David Eustace to T.O. Nugent was to be patient, and he certainly was. Got on the back of Sierra Sue, had that last run at them, and he ran right through the line. I think, he can go up to 2,000 metres, but maybe fresh run on 1,600, 1,700 up to 2,000, that's fine. High Stranger's an absolute beauty. He was 1,200 to 1,600 yesterday and ran really well. I wasn't too concerned about Dice Roll being three wide. He's a big actioned horse. I thought he got a chance to use it. I thought he came into the race at the right time. I thought he ran okay. I think the evidence is building that he might be a better high-pressure 1,400-metre horse. He's three from three at those sort of trips, and the two runs at 1,600 have been excusable, but he's been still beaten. I like him maybe better at the 1,400 at this stage. De Niro ran quite well. I think they made the announcement they wanted to ride him more forward. It was probably never really going to happen, but he still found the line well, and he's eligible. He was well out of the handicaps yesterday. He's eligible for easier, so De Niro, I thought, was a pretty good run.
Canaan's pulled up with a degree of EIPH there, Dean. I thought he looked terrific second up in the Mountie Yard. The performance didn't live up to either. I thought his appearance was. But with that scope, do we forgive the performance of Canaan?
He's building a sort of rap sheet, isn't he, with little issues. And I thought he had a really hard run first up. And they can go one of two ways with that. They can build on that and really improve, and maybe that took its toll yesterday, because he just looked flat from a long way out and never really travelling, and was very well beaten yesterday, and below expectations, because there is a high expectation of him from that big win in the Frank Packer Plate, but it's looking more and more like an outlier in his form, Warren.
Absolutely. And Django Freeman, he was another interesting runner for the Hickmott stable first up. He's revealed a slow recovery on pulling up, Dino. So do we just almost put a pin through that and say it's good to see him back at the races and assess him again later on?
Yeah, and he'll probably have a bit of time between runs now, knowing the stable. But I was surprised he sort of pushed forward early, and he's had a solid day at the races, and maybe that that just told on him late in the race. So certainly agree with Brendan. I think Adelaide Ace peaked at Swan Hill, and fundraiser, maybe drier ground might be more his go, and he got very keen early as well, back in behind them. Just using that barrier can be a good thing, to have a good gait and try and use it, but then you've got to pace yourself properly, and he didn't really do that through the middle stages.
Back down the straight for race seven, this time over 1,000 metres. Kalkani Royale for Kevin Corson's. Will Price is having a terrific season aboard, claiming 1.5.
Coming up the middle of the track, it's Elite Legacy leading Express Pass. I Did It for Love as they virtually merge. 400 metres to go. It's Elite Legacy with also Space Boy and Dirty Thoughts. Express Pass a length and a half away. Fine Dane down the outside from Kalkani Royale trying to work into it. Then Pinion, I Did It for Love. It's Elite Legacy with Space Boy and Dirty Thoughts between them at the clock tower. Dirty Thoughts driving through just in front with Space Boy there, stride for stride. Space Boy gets the upper hand. Kalkani Royale is going to have a dip late. They hit it. Kalkani Royale, maybe, but this is close. Kalkani Royale or Space Boy in a photo from Dirty Thoughts Express Pass. And then
it was close. Dino listed as 0.2 of a length on the Racing Australia site. Will Price seemed to time his run to perfection there.
He did, and spoke of it yesterday, or David Gately astutely pointed it out, that Space Boy doesn't like winning too often, and maybe that helped as well, because he did look home. But Kalkani Royale, she was one of the biggest victims of the Caulfield bias, because she missed the start that day and was trapped wide on in the lane you didn't want to be in. But yesterday she was probably in the absolute ideal lane, so she got a little bit of luck going her way this time, and strong through the line to 1,000 metres. Space Boy ran well, but it's a while between wins. And I think Dirty Thoughts ran really well, because she was up punching in that lead group, travelling well. Just the last little bit probably told on her day at the races. She'll improve a lot. Those three had a little bit of a margin on the rest.
Yeah, I think the Dirty Thoughts might be the one that can improve out of that and be a winner sometime soon. I'm with you there, Dino. Brendan, your thoughts here?
Yeah, happy to be with Dirty Thoughts. Second up, Space Boy. Ben Mellum did everything right on him, bar win the race. Kalkani Royale, the 1,100 back to the 1,000, really held her in good stead to get through the line there yesterday. Of the rest, I thought they were just fair in behind. Pinion probably had her chance. For a fleeting moment, it looked as though maybe Rock Prophet was going to launch into the race, but the leaders didn't look as though they really worked hard through the middle part of the race, so they were going to have plenty left to kick with. But Kalkani Royale, a deserved victory. She was a winner at Geelong, and she's been peppering around the money all preparation, so nice to see her pick another one up in town.
Then it might be the only day we see horses come out of that meeting at Caulfield where it was a real advantage to be on speed. So just go back to how you know, we talked about Kalkani Royale and others on that day on Thunderstruck. So probably worth going back through that performances that day and the results of that day and looking for horses who you know, from your own notes you thought were significantly disadvantaged. Brendan, from your point of view...
Sorry.
It's not the last time we'll see horses come out of that meeting, so it might even be worth revisiting that meeting to see horses such as Kalkani Royale and Om Thunderstruck have come out to show that they can really turn that form around.
Yeah, well, I think what you've probably got to do is draw a line on how the track played that day, where the advantage lanes were and where horses were in the run. And with a horse like Kalkani Royale, she was just too wide on the track that day. Probably I'm Thunderstruck, because he missed the start that day, got in the wrong, then tried to make something happen, got in the wrong spot, and we saw that was the race Divine Diosa won, but she cut back to the inside, so it was definitely an advantage to be the inside. And that was probably, when we get to the race won by the Mike Moroney stayer, that I thought that he was in the best ground, but it was still just hard to make ground that day at the good fight, even though he's beaten six lengths by no effort. So, yeah, you really got to go through those meetings and just try and pick the eyes out of those that were in the wrong lanes and maybe disadvantaged. And certainly there were big form turnarounds yesterday.
Brendan, your thoughts there? If we're looking back now, we're seeing some good winning form come out of that meeting from horses that didn't have the right run. Worth going back to make sure you're looking for horses who were disadvantaged there?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm Thunderstruck's a classic example of that. We know what sort of finish he can produce, and he was forced to try and make something happen and get into the race at Caulfield. He was slow to begin, and he probably was a length or two further back than he wanted to be, but on face value, you go back and watch that run, and he spent that finish getting himself into a position where he could try and have to launch again if he was a robot or a car, where you could kick them into another gear and go again. But he spent all these carrots getting from, that three quarters of the way down the field to up in that first third of the field to try and press on it and make something happen late in the piece. And yesterday you go and have a look at that race, and there was good speed there for him to really sit back and use that finish. So yeah, it's really good to have some notes somewhere on the way the track's played, first of all, and then just if horses were not disadvantaged or some days they were advantaged by those sort of patterns. So, good to have a little reference to work off, that's for sure.
Race 8, Warren, Mr. Flemington. Yes, mate? Yes,
I was just going to say, just looking through the results of that day, so horses that haven't raced yet, say Berenskova drew barrier 12. She was a $2.10 favourite, well beaten, but she might be one that when she steps out, we could watch. Over the Skies, another one, drew 13, was wide, forgive run as a favourite that day. So, these are horses that, punters might be disappointed they were beaten favourites, but they could turn it around very quickly at their next starts.
Great point there, Dino. We get to race 8, which is the Flemington Cup over 2,800 metres, and the good fight for Mike Moroney and Ben Mellum went around a $15 chance.
Heights is five deep. This is going to be an out-and-out slog and staying contest around the turn. 550 metres to go. Pissarro gets its nose in front with South Pacific and Manola. Sweet Thomas waits a run. Lofty Heights and Royal Crown to the outside, and Hacky is grinding away back on the fence. 350 metres to run at South Pacific just in front of Pissarro. There's plenty of chances. Sweet Thomas is wedging through. Then Royal Crown and the good fight down the centre of the track. It's Sweet Thomas, Mudsplash, excited at the 200, takes the lead. The Good Fight coming out after it. Sweet Thomas at the 100. The Good Fight moves up, though. The Good Fight ranges up, moves up. The Sweet Thomas lays in, but the Good Fight's going to win and outstay them. The Good Fight, a half length Sweet Thomas. 3 lengths of Photo, Pissarro or Saunter Boy. And then
thoughts on the Flemington Cup, Brendan?
Race wasn't a run at an overly fast tempo. Feel the rush went along to suit. Manola was really keen up alongside. They didn't really go all that hard. And then Pissarro decided to force the issue along the side of the track. And then the race really changed from that point. Jamie Carr was flushed out on the favourite, South Pacific, who, if you could have scripted it, he had it everything go his way for him to land in the 1-1, and he was forced to pull out sooner than he would have liked, but I thought he was really disappointing there yesterday. And the Good Fight had an uninterrupted run around the outside, able to build his momentum, and he was really strong through the line. Sweet Thomas got a good ride through from Williams, bided his time, found the gaps to go through, and he was unlucky to be beaten. Saunter Boy could have done with a room a lot sooner. 3-4 back the fence wasn't his go. He needed a scenario like the Good Fight where he could just continue to build his momentum, and the last 50 is probably evidence of that. Had he been out sooner, he might have got a bit closer, because he really surged in that last little bit again. He's ticking over beautifully for maybe heading towards a national. Royal Crown probably didn't run the trip out, and the rest were well beaten. But the Good Fight, you know, had to lump the 60, had it all against him, and an uninterrupted well-timed run from Ben Mallum around the pack probably paid dividends. And of all the races, the Flemington Cup, fair enough, at 2800, but there were a couple of races there yesterday, Lynn, the Lachelle and the Trevor Clark, that were probably 2 or 3 kilometres short of distances they usually run at.
Couple from the Stewards report before we get your thoughts, Dean. South Pacific, who was a relatively short price favourite, Jamie Carr reported that her mount was not suited by the slow tempo and failed to respond to her riding when placed under pressure, and weakened from the 250. Diagnosed as pulling up with a slow recovery, so perhaps a give for South Pacific. And Saunter Boy, as Brendan outlined, held up for clear running from the 500 to the 300. What did you see here, Dean?
Yeah, it wasn't a strong tempo, but then the eyeball pressure came on early when Pissarro and a couple of others got going, and I just don't think South Pacific relished that much either, and it was just getting in that right wave, and certainly you know, it was all credit to Ben Mallum here. I think the Good Fight just kept building into the race, and he needed to with the weight. Sweet Thomas just had to wait for his chance to get a run, but had his chance to win, and I think Saunter Boy finishes a lot clearer third with clear running. He had plenty to offer at the right time, and by the time he actually got clear, he lost that momentum. So I thought he ran very well, Saunter Boy, and he's, as Brendan said, ticking over beautifully for the jumps. But, yeah, I think that even though they did go slow, when they put the pressure on early, because these are staying horses and they haven't got long sprints, they gas out very quickly, and that's why you get big margins when they go for home quite early.
One via Frank, via the SMS. Dino, the Good Fight reminds me of the Chosen One. What do you think he can go to next?
I don't know, but it's got to be wet. I think that's the key. He does relish soft ground, and he kept going strongly to the line, and that was, you know, a good staying performance with weight, but certainly showed that little bit of a difference in the class. The two horses with a bit of weight, the South Pacific didn't turn up on the day, but the other two certainly did, and they beat the likes of your Saunter Boy, Pissarro, Royal Crown pretty significantly, so they did have that class edge.
And I think Mike Moraney, indicating when we were chatting to him just prior to or just after 8 o'clock, Dean, he said he's a bit of a push-button horse. He could go to a handicap and you could even claim. So it's not aiming too high, but I suppose just wanting to keep him going and find his feet and keep winning races with him, Dean.
Yeah, it's a good formula, and you know, such good money about you know, this time of year for that sort of horse to keep sort of chugging along.
Hopefully the Good Fight can continue the Good Fight. And chat with Mike before, Dino, just his family's involvement with Cups at Flemington has been something that you could almost write a book about.
Indeed, yeah, through hijinks and of course, in winning with Brew, and of course, the link there was yesterday with the dam of this horse, Pravda, who disgraced herself on this stage. At least the Good Fight redeemed the family's good name at Flemington yesterday.
We get to the last at Flemington. Harry Coffey was lauded for his ride, ducking and weaving aboard Cena's Express to win at his previous start. Harry had a wider draw here in the last at Flemington.
Right across the track, they've got to Bengal Bandit. Literati drives through. Fatigue's always in moment, joining in. Cracker Jack Prince, Signers Express, and Foxy Frieda also running on a terrific finish here. Literati just in front. Signers Express coming out at Foxy Frieda's lifting. Signers Express moves up with Foxy Frieda. Literati, they hit it. Signers Express, I think, has just won from a photo Literati or Foxy Frieda. And then came Fatigue's and always in.
Well, we know how deep our riding ranks are in Victoria, Dino, but Harry Coffey's riding in general and his ride on Signers Express the last two starts just show what a good rider Harry is.
He certainly is, and this was, you know, the other ride, he got forced into spots and he made the most of it. This was a really well-constructed ride because he had the wide draw. By the last race, he probably knew they were going to be coming out to him, so three wide with cover was always on the cards, and he was able to get into the right lane and... Gee, it won him the race because Foxy Frieda, had she been able to get out there, I think she'd have won the race. She's a very talented filly, Foxy Frieda, and that's not taking anything away from Signers Express. He's going great guns, and you know, the only day I really liked him, he had a heart arrhythmia. Other than that, his form's been immaculate, and he got the money yesterday. But I'm a real fan of Foxy Frieda. I think we've seen a really strong at 14, ran through the line yesterday at 17. It was a bunch finish, so you've got to take that into account. But coming through the off-season, I think she's going to be developing into a more than handy mare.
What about your thoughts here, Brendan?
Looked like when Harry got to the outside, it was one of those Flemington rides where when you get to the top of the straight, count to 10 before you go. I think he might have got to about 6.5 before he pulled the trigger on Signers Express and he had to go. But he got it spot on because there wasn't much left in the tank when he got to the line. He's a really nice horse. He was desperately unlucky not to win at Geelong 3 runs ago, had the issue at Sandown, and now he's gone back-to-back at headquarters. There's plenty to work with him. Foxy Frieda, she might have liked to have gotten to the outside, but if you go back and have a look through, a lot of her, whether she's just been dictated to back to the inside, she's come through the inside a fair few times, so maybe that's maybe where she just likes to be. I thought Literati was a horse that got presented with the race and just got reeled in late by the two strong closers. Fatigues was good, always in a moment, I thought was brave enough covering ground. Bengal Bandit okay on the speed, and Baglioni has another tale to tell. He got knocked over at Flemington going back a couple of runs ago, and then he had nowhere to go there yesterday. But Signers Express, a nice horse, Foxy Frieda, she's only going to improve, you would think. Next time in, she's had a pretty taxing preparation through the autumn and then into the winter. So next time in, she's going to be bigger and stronger, and you think she's going to win her fair share of races from then on in. But credit to first and second across the line in a race that was really dominated by those horses close to the speed. When you go through the finishing order, they've been able to take some serious ground off them late.
Dino, a horse that was in the market and finished out of the placings in Always in Moments. Stuart's report has three wide without cover. How important was that in the run?
I think that's probably where they were going to aim to be, Warren, because I think there's a thought that when she over-races, she's had that heart arrhythmia problem. So I think probably having her own space and just running her own race is probably what we're going to see a lot from her. I thought she ran pretty well. She's hasn't been beaten far, and... another horse I want to mention, I'd like to see him go to a maiden, The Awesome Sun. He ran very nicely indeed. He was the best last 200 in the race, and there's certainly a little bit of a future with him.
Something for The Autumn Sun, Julius Sandu. Beau Merton's combining yesterday, and unfortunately for the Roll of Dice team there, Brendan, getting the queue scratched at the barriers after being fractious, so they'll have to wait another day to test him up in grade.
Yeah, he was really impressive in the way he went about it at Werribee, but I didn't miss that. It wasn't in the replay. I was on my way to the Meadows by the time they were loading them into the gates for the last.
Big day of racing at Flemington. The Flemington Cup, the highlight, taken out by Mike Moroney and Ben Malham, taking out that race with the good fight. Time for a break here on RSN 927. We'll look at the Oaklands Plate in Adelaide after this break and touch on that devastating performance, another big win for Snowfall in the Irish Oaks overnight.
home, and Ton of Grit moved into another gear. Moved two in front, Mac and Cheese rounding them up, then Roxy Blue, Cassowary, Blerio and Gosden. Kept going, Ton of Grit, Mac and Cheese has got him in sight. Ton of Grit in front, but Mac and Cheese, she's got a terrific turn of acceleration, and Mac and Cheese ranged up to Ton of Grit. They're seven in front of the others. Mac and Cheese, she's roaring away. Mac and Cheese wins by two lengths to Ton of Grit. Third went to Gosden ahead of...
Well, Dino, she'd been threatening to do that. How did you see her win yesterday?
It was a very good win, Warren, because she's got this bad habit of missing the start, as she's shown in her two starts. She'd had time between runs, and the McAvoy stable had tried to remedy that. It didn't work. She still came out slowly. Around multiple parks, it's very hard to do, but she sort of got around them and found a way to win. I think she's a good class filly. I just hope that they can mend her ways at the start, because it is not a great habit to have sort of going forward, and the races will only get stronger.
And Brendan, Tony McAvoy commenting post-race that he thought he'd sort of done some remedial work and was expecting better from Mac and Cheese. That blowing the start, certainly not a trait you want to develop as a racehorse.
He seemed filthy on her, didn't he, after in his post-race interview. He'd done a stack. He's, by the sound of it, he's done a stack of work with her, and she gets to the races and messes it up again. He did outline that it was a hard watch, but it was a pretty easy watch in the end. She's impressive. She's got a big finish, but once she steps up in grade, you can't be giving away starts like that. And it's going to be really interesting to see where she measures up, Tony, alluding maybe back end of the spring. And maybe into an Adelaide Carnival. You could see her getting to a mile and beyond, and maybe in a couple of those 2,000-metre fillies races, she might come into her own over a bit more ground.
Premiership race really hotting up in Adelaide, Dino. Jamie Carr with it well and truly sewn up here, but a treble for Todd Pennell yesterday, and Jess Eaton unable to get one over the line yesterday. So now they head to the remaining races of the season locked in at the top of the leaderboard. So plenty of interest in the metropolitan races from a riding perspective for the rest of the season in SA.
Yeah, I think the border closures helped Todd a bit yesterday, and he certainly made the most of it, getting that treble. And it's been a really good battle, and for Jess to do what she's done in her first full season in Adelaide and South Australia has been remarkable. So now right down to the wire, and a good contest.
One of the spruiks of the day was Lombardo in the first in Adelaide, Dean. He snuck over the border to get that win. What did you make of his return for the Price and Kent stable?
Look, he got the job done, Warren. He sort of... it was an okay win. I don't know where he fits in, you know, sort of in a better class of race over here. That was only, benchmark 62, I think, or 68. So he got the job done, but 64 level, actually. So, you know, big weight. He's probably midweek standard at this stage, but he won not with a lot in hand on the line, but enough to get home.
Do you have a thought there, Brendan?
Nice to see him back and winning, but we always know it's a step to come across to midweek and then step up again. You can go to Adelaide and win one of these 64s, but you know, there's not a great depth to them sometimes. Other times you can be proven wrong, but I'd like to see him come back and do it on this side of the border before we can really get confident about him again.
Snowfall could be an absolute star of the future for Aidan O'Brien. She went to the Irish Oaks last night.
By stable companion Snowfall, who's beautifully poised on the outside, and Snowfall strikes the front, racing down to the final furling and a half from the Judgment Irish Oaks, and it is Snowfall. Away she comes from Nicest Willow and then Divinely inside the final half furlong, and it's Snowfall gone further and further away, is winning back-to-back Oaks Classics for Aidan O'Brien, ridden by Ryan Moore, second Divinely, third is Nicest.
Well, Brendan, what did you make of that performance?
Well, she's got a combined winning margin in her last couple from Moonee Valley to Flemington. She's won by a long way. She's very good without knowing the form really inside and out. Can't really comment on who she's beating, but she's beating the best of the fillies in England and then in Ireland, and you would think, you know, there's going to be an arc or something on the radar for her in the future. Impressive. But now to see her step out of her own age group and take on the boys maybe at some stage is going to be interesting, but you can't help but be impressed with the way she's going about it.
Yeah, how do we dissect that, Dino?
She just gets stronger, deeper into a race, Warren. That's the great thing she's got in her favour. So, yeah, I'd imagine she's arc-bound, and we see Love next weekend, I think. So, you know, the feature races, you know, certainly keep coming in Europe and then obviously culminate in a race like the Arc. But, yeah, she was outstanding yesterday, the way she quickened down late in the race.
Before we get the runs of the day and horses to follow, Dino, just a comment. We've talked a lot about Josh Richards' progress and a four-timer at Mowi yesterday. A little bit off-Broadway, but he's destined to have a real presence as a rider as he gets deeper into his career.
Yeah, well, the next 12 months, whilst he's had a meteoric rise in Victoria in the last 2 months, the next 12 months might be really significant to him. And as he said, a four-timer yesterday, and I think 11 wins or 12 wins from his last 50 rides, he's going beautifully.
Brendan, you've been watching a bit of him through the provincial circuit. How do you see his career developing?
He's going to be a very, very good rider, and watch this space for him when they really start taking advantage of him in town on a regular basis. He's lucky to have that southern New South Wales grounding where they're not penalised with their claim as much for riding those country winners, and he's a very experienced jockey, albeit still in the infancy of his career. But, yeah, it's a bit of a watch this space with Josh. He's going to rise through the ranks very rapidly.
Apologies, Brendan, it's gone 10 o'clock. We're starting to eat into the Sunday Central time. Time to get runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, how are you seeing that?
I'm Thunderstruck was the run of the day for me, Warren. That was an outstanding display. And I think if he finds the right race, De Niro's ready to win. Yesterday wasn't the right race, but he ran well. I think if they get in the right benchmark, he can win pretty soon.
Jumps racing at Pakenham today. The Brendan Dressler and the Moss Trooper, the features, and also Echuca transferred to Warwick Nabil. Can you find a winner for us today?
Yeah, the Pakenham meeting's terrific. I thought a little bit of value in the first might be White Heath. I think he's had a good grounding for that race. Ran well on the flat last start, race one, number seven, and that... Warwick Nabil, another one at a bit of odds. Race 2, number 2, Mugruth, I think it's been trialling pretty well for John Price. And I think that race was supposed to be 1,300. It's 1,200. I think Fresh will run well. Mugruth, race 2, number 2.
Great work as always, Dino. Look forward to hearing you right throughout the week on RSN 927.
Thank you, Warren.
And Brendan Delaney, we're about to head to Sunday Central. We're actually already in your time slot. What are we looking forward to in the next couple of hours?
Plenty coming up. Big review, big preview of the jumps program at Sportsbet Pakenham with Harry White. Ralphie's going to be along to talk AFL. Plenty happening there. What's going to happen with the fixture with this COVID situation? Teams heading into isolation, and then the injury to Dustin Martin and the draw last night. Trav Noonan to take us through that Echuca program transferred to Warwick Nabil. It's Narendra Cup Day in Humphreys. Will take us through the quaddy legs there. Kev Casey through Scone. Howard Walter at the Sunshine Coast is racing at Port Augusta. We'll preview that. Cranbourne Trot's game plan. George Ferrugia with the wrap of the Meadows last night before we get stuck into the first at Pakenham at 12 o'clock. So a busy couple of hours coming up.
What about runs of the day and horse to follow from yesterday?
With Dean, run of the day on Thunderstruck. That was a very, very good win. A horse that can really take a big step up in grade now. Horse to follow through the same race. Tuvalu was fresh up there yesterday. He was unbeaten going into that race, but he wouldn't have lost too many admirers there. I'm sure Lindsay Smith was happy with the way he came back, and he can be winning second up.
Great work, Brendan. Looking forward to Sunday Central for the next couple of hours, leading off with that preview of the big meeting, the jumps meeting at Pakenham. I'm Thunderstruck. It's the run of the day. Dirty Thoughts, my horse to follow. I thought she did enough first up. She'll probably step up a little bit in trip at her next start. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney with Sunday Central.